Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bewitching Book Tours Radio. I am G.L. Ross, your host, and today's guest is author Maureen Willett. Maureen, are you on the line?
I am. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. We're so excited to have you with us all the way from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Is the weather beautiful there?
I have to say it is. It's, we've had a beautiful winter. Believe it or not, we do have winters, but for us, if it gets down to 70 degrees, it's cold.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, well, it's actually the most beautiful time of year. It's much nicer than the summertime because it's too hot then.
Are you one of those who loves to be on the beach surfing, or are you usually locked away riding?
Lately, I'm locked away in my office writing, but I do love the beach. I try and walk on the beach at least 3 times a week, and I used to paddle, which is like outrigger canoe racing, which my husband and my son are really into. And then my husband surfs canoe. So outrigger canoe surfing is really big here too. So we do surf, but we don't surf on surfboards. We surf in canoes.
Well, I'm very envious. You're living the life I dream to have, is sitting on a beach riding. Well, you mentioned your husband and son. Tell us a little about your family, your background, and then we'll dive into the book.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm married. I have a 12-year-old son. My husband is from Hawaii, and I've lived here for quite a long time, over 20 years. So I kind of feel like I'm almost from here as well. And I grew up wanting to be a writer from the time I was in probably third grade. I knew I wanted to be a writer. And I majored in journalism in college and for a time was a reporter and went into magazine publishing and then finally got into public relations. But I've always been a writer. It took me a few years or more to determine that I'd rather write fiction than nonfiction, which is true today. I really don't enjoy writing nonfiction, but I do love to write fiction.
Well, you definitely write fiction because I love that you write about leprechauns. I was born on St. Patrick's Day, or I am born on St. Patrick's Day, and I just absolutely love leprechauns and the whole Ireland. I can't wait to visit. So tell us a little bit about, if you could kind of give us a brief synopsis of the book, and then I want you to explain to our listeners about the fact that this is based on your family history. I just think that's so exciting and interesting.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's. And I'm sorry, you may be hearing my dog barking in the
background. Hey, that's all right. I understand.
Yes, I. Although I wasn't born on St. Patrick's Day, I am from an Irish family, and my great-great-grandparents immigrated to Kansas from Ireland, and a few summers ago, I don't know, maybe 3 summers ago, I decided to look into our family tree online, and I'd always heard certain stories about my family over the years from my aunts, mostly my mom's sisters and my mom and my cousins, about our family and being from Ireland. My great-great-grandfather actually founded a town in Kansas, which is still there today, and built a huge stone cathedral in the middle of nowhere. And that's where my mother grew up. She was from a family of 10 kids. They grew up on the farm. and their last name was Flourish, which is actually German, but they were mostly Irish. The other name in the family is Lonergan. And so they grew up there. People couldn't pronounce Flourish, and so the town was named Flush. So the town is Flush, Kansas. I don't think it's much of anything anymore, but back in the day, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, it was quite the center of a lot of things. Kansas, you know, at one point was considered the West. So, So my novel takes place in a town. It's not Flush, Kansas, but it's a made-up town that I made up, but it's very much based on that. There's a big stone cathedral in the middle of the town, but my characters are an Irish family that immigrates from Ireland because they are known to practice some magic, and heartless magic, and it's two parents, and they have seven children, but only one is a girl, and the daughter is 17 when they come to the New World. And part of the reason they do is because she has formed sort of a friendship, romantic relationship with, I guess, you know, at first I call him a leprechaun, but in my mind, the leprechauns of Ireland are sort of like fae or fairies, but they're not small. They're magical, handsome people, immortal, and just kind of timeless. And so he actually, unbeknownst to the parents, follows them to America. And so it kind of takes place from there. They have lots of adventures. The family has lots of adventures getting to Kansas, and then also once they're established on the farm. And all the adventures they have are stories that I uncovered through research and also have heard about all my life, about what happened to my ancestors when they came to Kansas. And the funny thing was, when I started doing research online, I found actually more information about my dad's side of the family, which also came over in about the early 1800s, late 1700s. And so I've incorporated some of those stories as well. For example, one of my dad's ancestors, one of my ancestors, was a prince in Austria who was banished in the 1700s, banished to the colonies because he married a commoner. So one of my main characters is actually based on him.
Fascinating.
And oddly, this is going to sound strange, but
We're talking leprechauns here, so you can. It's not going to sound strange.
So when I was a kid, my mom and her side of the family, when we would get together, and I had, because she's from a family of 10, so I have bazillion cousins, right?
Yeah.
You know, and they still live in the Midwest. But we used to go back there for holidays and summer vacations and stuff. And when we'd all get together, my aunts, and then when we got older, they'd have us do it as well. They would make furniture levitate off the ground by just thinking that it should. And,
oh, gracious.
How
fabulous.
I know. It's actually something people still do. I think it's called table tipping or something like that, but it's something that our family brought, kind of a custom they brought over from the old world. And it's sort of like a Ouija board, and you make the table tap down on the ground once for yes, twice for no, and you ask it questions, and it's just sort of a game, but that's what we used to do. And so that was part of my inspiration for, because that's something that the Irish family does, and that's part of the reason they have to leave Ireland, because they're the villagers kind of are starting to talk like maybe they're practicing witchcraft and stuff. So, yeah, so that's the reason they immigrate. So, long story short, that was the inspiration for my novel, Near the Wild.
Well, it's very exciting. When you were doing your research, was it like Ancestry.com, or how did you go about doing research besides your family stories?
Yeah, it was mostly Ancestry.com. I actually found quite a lot of information, mostly, as I said, about my dad's side of the family. Originally, I went on there to investigate my mom's side of the family, because they've always just seemed much more interesting to me, partly because of that whole table tapping thing that we used to do. And my dad, but oddly, to my surprise anyway, I found a lot more information about my dad's side of the family,
right,
because a distant relative had already gone on there and done a lot of research. And so that person had put in a lot of stories about their family in the Old West. The other thing, too, is my main character, my Irish family, once they get to Kansas, they're on a farm and they live in a sod house. And that sod house is based on my dad's grandfather's house. When I was a teenager, I went with my parents back to Nebraska, which is where my dad grew up, and his elderly aunt still had the property from the original farm that his grandfather grew up on, and the sod house was still there. And so I actually went inside the sod house and looked at it. And it really stuck in my mind. So the house in my novel.
I remember as a child reading Little House on the Prairie and reading about sod houses. So I can only imagine how interesting it would be to actually enter one and see it in person.
Yeah, it is sort of mind-blowing, really. And, you know, there were snakes and, you know, it's just, yeah, it's, but it was still there, you know. 100 years later, it's still there. So
wow, they obviously last.
Yeah, kind of. For my novel, I mixed a little bit of reality of the Old West with some magic and leprechauns and stuff. So I don't know why, but to me, it sort of worked.
No, I think it's fascinating. Now, in your novel, which is the name is Near the Wild for all of our listeners, so mm-hmm. When they go to search it in Amazon, Near the Wild by Maureen mm-hmm. Willett, Maeve is your heroine. Tell us mm-hmm. kind of about Maeve and what makes her tick and why she finds different people attractive or not attractive.
Well, you know, she is 17 when the novel starts. She turns 18 within the novel. So it's sort of about her coming of age. And she is the only girl among six brothers. And so she has to be sort of independent and spunky to survive in that atmosphere. So she's smart, she's independent, and yet she still has to kind of live within the confines of being female in the late 19th century. And when they sail over on the ship, her mother is very ill, so it's Maeve who has to kind of take over taking care of the younger boys and making sure they all get fed and don't get lost at sea overboard or something like that. So that's the first time she really takes charge. And so part of it, too, is she feels a little bit isolated being the growing up as the only girl. So the leprechaun and she form this bond because he becomes her special friend. And but then when she's starting to get older and become a young woman, she falls in love with him because he's a beautiful, magical being. And but then once she gets to America, she meets some pretty interesting mortal men and has to kind of choose which one. There's actually three. There's two men she meets in Kansas and then her leprechaun friend. So it's sort of her choosing, you know, which way to go in life. And I kind of feel that her story is a bit timeless. It wouldn't have to take place in the 1800s or necessarily have a magical being in it. It's sort of more choosing, what do you want in life? Do you want some person who's very dazzling but maybe not too dependable, or do you choose the person who is going to make you happy and be there for you?
No, absolutely. I think that's something that we all deal with at some point in our lives.
Right, right. So it's really kind of a story about that, although along the way she has lots of adventures and, you know, is in the middle of gunfights and things like that, which I would imagine would have happened if you were a girl living in the Wild West.
Absolutely. So. There aren't many times you find leprechauns in the Wild West, so I'm fascinated with your imagination. Who influenced your writing and your writing style? Were there certain authors that you liked to read as you were growing up or still do?
Yes, I've always enjoyed, and of course growing up it wasn't really coined paranormal, but I've always enjoyed paranormal type fiction. One of my first very favorite books was Alice in Wonderland, which, you know, is a kid's book, but it's also very magical and has a lot of undertones of things that are magical and paranormal. And then when I was, I don't even know how old I was, but fairly young, I'd say the first vampire book by Anne Rice came out, Interview with a Vampire, and that made a huge impact on me because at that point in time, there wasn't any sort of fiction like that. And so that had a huge influence on me. And then, you know, I continued to read a lot of books in that genre. The other book that had a huge influence on me was when Outlander first came out by Diana, and I don't know how to say her last name, Gabaldon.
Right.
Yeah, one of those. That I loved that book. I'm still reading her books because they just are so fascinating about time travel. And so I would say those are probably my biggest influencers. I just enjoy reading novels that expand, you know, what is real and not real.
Oh, I completely agree. When you write, do you like to write in the daytime or in the evening? And do you have a certain room in your house that you like to go to so it's quiet for your inspiration? Or are you one of those who likes to go plop down at Starbucks?
Oh, no. I have to be alone and no one can come in the room with me. I have an office at home and that's where I write. I mean, I could take my laptop and go to the beach or sit outside in the garden, but I really find I need to not have any distractions. I sit in my office and I write. I am probably most creative in the morning when I first wake up, but I usually get more writing done later in the day, if that makes any sense. And
sure.
I find when I write, I just kind of let my characters take me. I'm not an intentional writer in that I'm never quite sure exactly where I'm going with something until it's finished. And then in my revisions, my rewrites, I do, I don't know, probably 5 rewrites. I figure it out and pull it together more. It's not like I outline things and intentionally write them. I just kind of sit and write and see where it goes.
Well, now you mentioned that Maeve has 6 brothers. So are you
Yes.
considering having spinoff books about the brothers?
I am, actually. There's one, her immediate older brother in the novel. He is also based on one of my relatives. When my Irish ancestors came over, it was a big family of mostly boys, and I'm not quite sure what happened to the dad, but he wasn't there. It was the mother and her brood of boys immigrated from Ireland, and one of them, they landed in New Orleans, not New York, because they took a French ship over, and that's where they sailed to. And once they landed in New Orleans, one of the older boys left and ended up becoming an outlaw, I guess, of sorts, mm-hmm. and ended up being hanged for robbery or something like that. So one of Maeve's brothers, her next oldest brother, that's his story. He's not in Near the Wild too much because he does sort of disappear and become an outlaw, but I don't kill him off at the end. And so I'm contemplating writing a novel about him and his experiences because I think he's a pretty interesting character, very charismatic, but sort of, and not a bad person, but sort of reckless.
So when did you start writing seriously and publish your first novel?
It was about 12 years ago or more, a little more. It was actually when I was pregnant with my son. I, at that point, living in Hawaii, and as I mentioned, my husband and I surfed canoes, and I also was racing outrigger canoes, which is a huge sport here that goes on almost year-round, and you have to train for it and run and lift weights and all this stuff. And so we were very much into that. And I worked, but in my spare time, that's what we did. And then when I got pregnant, of course, I couldn't do that anymore. So I had a lot of spare time on my hands. And as I mentioned, I always knew I wanted to be a writer. And I
Right.
had written some short stories and things along the way. But that's when I really sat down at a computer and started writing. And I wrote my first novel, which is called A Guardian's Tale, also available on Amazon.
Yes.
But it took me about 2 years to write, and I write much faster now because I probably revised it 50 times to make it what
I
want.
I completely relate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because as you know, with writing, you have to really write in order to be a good writer, and it takes practice. So 12 years later, I feel I'm a much better writer than I was then, but I have a lot of fondness for that novel because it also, it was sort of my own personal fantasy, and it's about time travel. basically, my mother passed away when I was a kid, and being pregnant, I felt a lot of regret that she wasn't there to see me pregnant, and I, you know, envy my friends who are adults and know their mothers adult to adult, because that's a different relationship than knowing your mother as a child. And I had wished that she could be there so, you know, I could just relate to her on a more adult level. So that novel, A Guardian's Tale, is about a woman. It's about 1990, I think, is where it takes place, because I had to do the math right. And she gets hit by a truck, basically, and is in a coma, but she actually goes back to in time to the 1940s during World War II, ends up there, doesn't know what she's doing there, knows that she's traveled back in time, and she ends up living in a women's boarding house, and her roommate is a young woman who eventually becomes her mother when she's older. And she, like me, the main character, the time traveler, never knew her mother because she died when she was little. So it's her chance to get to know her mother as, like, friend to friend, girlfriend. So they become girlfriends, and then they fall in love.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, men who go off to war and... And so, yeah, it goes on. So that was my first novel, and it was just sort of me being pregnant and trying to live out that fantasy of having my mother there.
Absolutely. Well, now, so that our listeners can go find a list of all of your books that you've published and could follow the rest of your tour, because you're still on your Bewitching Blog Tour up until, or Bewitching Book Tour up until February 15th, so where do you have a website, your social media sites, if you'd share those so that the listeners may find and follow you?
Yes, you can go to Amazon and search for Maureen Willett, and my novels come up there. And then I'm also on Facebook, and you can search for Maureen Willett novels. And then I do have a website that I just published, and it's mwillettnovels.com.
Okay. Spell Willett for everybody so that they know and make sure that they get it correct.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, it's W-I-L-L-E-T-T, so two L's, two T's. So my website is mwillettnovels.com. And then Maureen Willett on Amazon, and you'll find my books.
Well, I know that they want to go look and find it and grab the storyline. Now, we're getting close to Valentine's. Do you and your husband have something fun planned?
Oh, that's a good question. We've been married for long enough that we don't have too much planned, but what we'll probably do, what we do almost every year, it, especially if it's on the weekend, is we go to the beach and we enjoy the beautiful white sandy beach that we live a mile from. And like I said, this is the most beautiful time of year because it's warm but not too hot, and then we usually come back home and barbecue or something like that, and we'll drink champagne for Valentine's Day.
I think that sounds like a wonderful Valentine's Day, and as I said, I'm envious you get to walk on those white sand beaches and look at the beautiful waves and have 70 degree weather. It's not quite like that here in Texas, but we're about out of time. We're about out of time. I want to make sure that everybody will go to Amazon or go to your website and find Near the Wild and follow the rest of your book tour so that they can enter all the giveaways that go on with all the fun book blog tours. I thank you for being our guest today. I wish you the very best of luck, and I definitely think that all six brothers need to have spinoffs of the book so that we can keep up with all of those fun leprechauns and all the adventures.
Okay, I'll do it. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. All right, everybody have a great Valentine's Day, and thank you, Maureen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.